so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in, and a very happy Tuesday to you. All right, here's my question for you. Are you ready? When you think of prayer, what comes to mind? When you think of prayer, what comes to mind? Is it the best part of your day? Something you feel like you continually fail at? Something you don't do enough of? Maybe something you want to get better at? Well, today my guest is Adam Weber, and he joins us to talk about his new book just released today, Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. Really great book. We've got three copies of Adam's book to get into your hands. And oftentimes, you know, there are certain shows we do that are totally call-driven. Other times, we give the guest all of the time in the world to unpack their content. Today is one of those days. So if you want your hands on a copy of Adam's new book, email me to get in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie, that's S-U-S-I-E at myfaithradio.com. Please remember your mailing address. And if you've got a question along the way, include that as well, and we'll get that to Adam. A couple quick announcements before we hear from Adam. We are still promoting our Writers Conference, which takes place this summer. We're so excited about it, the Northwestern Christian Writers Conference. We're bringing in an A-list faculty. We've got Liz Curtis Higgs as our keynote. We've got amazing worship set up. There are still a number of appointments left, but registrations are flooding in, and we're super excited about that. If you've got a dream to be published, I'm telling you, you want to come to this conference. It is top-notch, top-of-the-line, super excited about the group that we've gathered. All that information is on our website, NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. Also, if you're traveling this season, I want you to take us with you. You can download our free Faith Radio app. You can live stream shows, catch the podcast after the fact, and you'll find that at the Apple App Store or Google Play. All right, my guest today writes this. The truth is, prayer is simple. It's like talking with a good friend. And here's the best part. No matter where we are in life, God can't wait to talk with us. Do you believe that's true? Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Adam Weber lives in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. He likes typewriters, drives a Rambler, cheers for the Cincinnati Bengals, has four chickens and a dog named Daisy. He's the founder and lead pastor of Embrace, a 10-year-old church which has grown to six campuses in two states. He and his beautiful wife, Becky, have four kids with really cool names, I might add, Hudson, Wilson, Grayson, and Anderson. Pastor Adam, welcome to the program.
Oh, Susie, it's an absolute joy and honor to be on with you.
Well, congratulations on the release of this book.
It is crazy. It's completely been a surreal day. Actually, my cheeks are hurting from smiling so much today. So I think I've thanked the Lord more today than I have for a while, which is just a wonderful place to be.
Well, very, very good. And our good friend Craig Groeschel, who's been on the show plenty of times, says of your book, if you want to strengthen your daily prayer life, grab this book. So that's quite an endorsement. So, Adam, we love to start talking scripture, and wondering if either you've got a life verse or just one you've been pondering these days. We just love to start out that way because it just opens the Word of God up for our listeners. Is there a verse you can think of?
Oh, absolutely. A verse that has always stuck with me, really since the time I became a Christian later on in high school, to this day, is John 9:25. It's the story of the blind man being able to see, and the Pharisees are asking him about Jesus, and they're asking him all these hard questions. And for me, I really grew up as a skeptic and really thought that people who followed Jesus didn't think out things and couldn't rationalize why they believed. But John 9:25 says, "One thing I do know, I was blind and now I see." Mm. And for myself, even in just seasons of doubts or questions here and there, there's so many things I don't know the answer to, but I know without question, that I was blind, I was completely lost, and now I see. And so that's been a verse that I've come back to time and time again in seasons of maybe questioning God's faithfulness or wondering where God was in a circumstance. It's so cool to come back to that verse time and time again and know that that's the story of my life.
And Adam, I love that. And don't you feel that the longer you walk with the Lord, the more you get to know him, I feel like there's even levels of blindness. You know, we see as in a glass dimly. It's like we don't know what we don't know. And when I come to a new understanding of the depths of either my offense, you know what I'm saying, the things he forgave me before I knew how deeply they hurt him, or just my blindness or short-sightedness, I marvel afresh at his grace. Don't you find that as well?
Oh, no question. I feel like I'm just barely scratching the surface and even understanding the depths of God's love and the depths of God's goodness. And the longer I followed him, as a new Christian, I thought the longer I followed the Lord, the less I would be needy. And the total opposite has been true. The longer I follow him, the more I see my need for him.
Indeed.
And the more I'm clinging to his peace and his goodness in my life. And it just seems like the older I get, the more like a child I become before the Lord. Just so needy for him as just Father and Savior. And I mean, just in all ways, I'm just so needy for the Lord and God in my life.
I would totally agree with you. And it feels like the sweetest place to be, because the more we realize our need, the more we know we can trust him, you know?
Oh, it's so true. Like I've learned so much about just the Lord in and through my kids. And I feel like I'm a child as far as, in a good sense, just needy for my Father, you know? Like, I just want to be with him and just sit with him and speak with him and just come to know more and more about him. And it's just amazing. The longer I'm with, like, in a relationship with him, the more and more I come to understand. And also I see how much I'm yet to understand.
Yeah.
It's like, God, I know your grace, but would you show me even just a glimpse more? Like, would you even show me more of who you are?
I echo that completely, and I pray those exact same prayers. More, 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 Lord. I want to know you more. And to know this grace more, I think, enters us into even a deeper rest, because, you know, it seems the opposite of grace so often is striving, you know. I would love to know, Adam, how you came to Christ. I mean, who was involved, or how did God tap on your shoulder and draw your heart?
Yeah, so I grew up in the church, and like I shared, really struggled from a young, young age. Because on Sundays, I so often felt like I heard about an amazing God while everyone was falling asleep.
Hmm.
And outside of the 1 hour on Sundays, it seemed like everyone was almost embarrassed to talk about God. And for me, I was like, gosh, when something is amazing in my life, I can't stop talking about it. When whatever it is, whether it's a neat old car or next week's football game, it impacts me. And I used to just think, if there's a God and he's amazing, it would change everything. And so, again, continue to really struggle with doubt. I got confirmed. The day I got confirmed, I told my parents it was the most I'd ever lied. And to so many people at one time, because you had to say you believed in Jesus, and I didn't.
Mm.
And really, at that moment, I can just remember my mom crying and crying, Adam, don't say that. Well, they began really to look for a church that would connect with me. Honestly, I've told my parents this so many times. It was one of the coolest acts I've ever seen. Just them setting aside all their preferences and all that they knew that church was to go searching and helping me connect with God. So we ended up at a church that was just, I heard about a relationship with Jesus for the very first time.
Wow.
And I just was like, we can have a relationship with Jesus? I've never heard that before. And I ended up going, I got invited by a bunch of good-looking girls my age to go to youth group with them. And that night, out of all things, the youth pastor began to talk about prayer. And something else I'll never forget that night, we started singing worship songs, and I had never sang worship songs in my life, and I felt foolish because I wasn't singing, and so just to fit in, I decided to start singing, and the only way I can explain it is just the Holy Spirit coming upon me, just sensing God's presence, and I was like, I don't even know what that is, and really the Lord was beginning to soften my heart and work in me. But that night the pastor talked about prayer and share different ways to pray. Sometimes you have to sing to God, because what's inside you, God's goodness and faithfulness and love, is so wonderful. You can't just speak it. You have to sing it. And other times we can talk with God just like he's sitting right next to us. And so on that drive that home that night, I was racing with so many questions, because I thought prayer was just kind of reciting words just to kind of maybe make God happy or appease him or something. But I didn't know that we could talk with God. And so on my ride home that night, I parked my car on the side of the road, and I just stood underneath the stars and basically just said, I didn't know how to pray. I'd never prayed anything that wasn't memorized, but the words that just came out was, Lord, I just want to know if you're for real. And really that moment is when God just began just to show himself in ways I couldn't deny anymore. And so there's a kind of a few months that I really began to believe, like, man, I think Jesus is real. But the thing I doubted was his grace towards me, because I was so vocal about telling Christians that I didn't agree with them and whatever. And I was like, I bet God could forgive anybody except me. Well, I was at a conference later that year, and for some reason, in the midst of that conference, it clicked. Adam, the cross applies to you as well, and my grace can cover you too. And so in the middle of this conference, it actually wasn't the most dynamic even message that was being preached. I just sat there and cried and cried and cried, and that's when I began to follow Jesus. So it was such a huge turn in my life. I can't explain it.
Wow, that's a beautiful story. I love, love, love hearing those salvation stories because he woos us all in such different ways. But boy, my hat is off to your parents because so often, Adam, you know, Hubby and I were volunteer youth pastors like 15 years ago, but for a number of years. And some of the stories we'd hear from kids who'd come, they'd be visiting our church, but they would say, my parents are more married to the denomination than they are to me learning about Jesus. And I had to come here to hear about it. And the kind of courage for your mom and dad to say, we are so committed to you not having to lie in confirmation, to getting some honest answers.
Well,
goodness. Wow.
Yeah, and it was a deep family thing. I mean, even my grandparents really struggled with the decision my parents made because it's like, well, that's not who we are, and that's not what our family does. Why are you going elsewhere? And yet they've told me later. They said, Adam, we were never unsure about our own walk with Jesus, but we were so concerned for yours.
Wow.
And so we wanted to do anything for you to hear about Jesus.
That
I'm like, wow. You know, even taking heat from their parents, for doing it. What a cool, I've thanked them so many times. Mm. Just like, wow, that was a big decision, you know?
You know, Adam, Jesus says things are proven right by their fruit. That's what Jesus said. And even if your parents' parents maybe criticize them initially, all they have to do is stand back and look at the fruit of your parents' decision, and they can't deny the fruit is there. Talking to author and pastor Adam Weber, title of his book, Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. Got some emails coming in, a couple of questions as well. Email if you want in on the drawing as well, Susie@myfaithradio.com. If you include your mailing address, you're automatically in the drawing. If you've got a question or comment, what prayer's been like for you, let us know that as well, and we will be back in a minute. For tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to author, pastor Adam Weber, celebrating the release today of his new book, Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. You might recognize Adam's voice because on the Faith Radio Network, we air the 3-minute feature, An Encouraging Word with Adam Weber. You just need to know he records it at our KNWC station out of Faith 1270. So honored and blessed to be talking with him today. And Adam, one of our listeners wrote and said, I'm excited to hear your speaker today. Learning how to better connect with God has been on the top of my prayer list. I've been struggling because I feel like when I pray, I'm simply talking to myself. It's the best way I can describe it. I don't feel like I'm talking to my God. I'm really sad to say that, but it's just where I'm at. I've been born again Christian for 7 years in May. I've come a long way, but prayer is where my focus is now. And she's entered the drawing and just hoping her question will be answered today. And thanks for all that you do, she says. What do you say, Adam?
Oh, that's a great question. I know for myself, I felt like that. I've been in that same exact place of just wondering, am I talking to myself? Am I talking to thin air? One of the things that I think that's so important just as followers of Jesus, and I know for myself even time and time again, is instead of trusting kind of how I'm feeling in a certain moment or even feeling during a trial or during even just a season of my life, instead of kind of taking my feelings as the gospel truth, really taking God at his word. And it's an awesome thing, even just reading through the Psalms of time and time again, even David questions that too, like, do you hear me? Do you hear me? Where are you? And yet throughout all of the Bible, again, especially in the Psalms, David reaffirms over and over and over, when we cry out, he hears our voice. When I speak, he hears me. When when we bring our request to God, he considers what we have to say. And so in those moments of maybe wondering, like, God, do you hear me? To really take and make the foundation of our feelings and our life God's word instead of just how we're feeling in that specific moment has been huge for me. Just knowing that he does hear, and he does consider what we have to say, and no matter how far away we are, the moment we turn around, he's there to meet us.
Boy,
I think that would be my biggest word of advice is just my I know for myself, my feelings are all over the place. You know, it's just like my heart is all over the place too. But it's like, God, you're the same today and forever. And so I'm going to trust you at your word and what you have to say. That would be my main encouragement.
Beautiful. Very, very good. Tell me this. Why do you think so many find prayer difficult? Do you think it's more about unrealistic expectations of what our prayer life is supposed to look like? Or is it more a fear of failure that if we engage in prayer, nothing will change? I'm better off not starting at all.
Yeah, great question. This is probably the number one thing and really my hope with the book. Prayer is one of those things that we throw around often. When someone tells you that their mom has cancer, when you don't know what else to say, you say, I'll be praying for you. And thoughts and prayers are with you. So we throw around, like, I'll pray for you, let's pray for our country a lot. And because it's talked about a lot, it's one of those things that I feel like you can't ask questions about. Because if you're a grown adult, you should know this or something. It's almost like a friend or a coworker. After a certain amount of time, it's awkward to ask what their name is because maybe feel like you should know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's how it is with prayer. And honestly, we talk, even within the church, we talk about prayer a lot, but I don't think we explain it. So I think it's one of those things that, gosh, I just don't know how to do this. And I just really don't want to screw it up. And just in general, just kind of saying what it is, there's definitely a step of faith when we pray of like, gosh, this does feel, I can't audibly hear the voice of God in this moment. So I think there is those different aspects of it. But really what I tell people, if I have 2 seconds with someone about how to pray, I always say, just say exactly what's inside you. Like if you're having a wonderful day, say it. If you're scared, if you're broken, if you're hurting, if you're angry, speak the words. And then the second part, instead of just saying it to ourselves, direct the words to God. Because we actually do a really good job of the first step. In our car, we'll say to ourselves, I'm so stressed, or I'm so frustrated, or why did they say that to me? Or I'm just, this has been a hard, horrible day. So we'll say those things, but we just drive ourselves crazy if we say it to ourselves. So it's saying those things and then directing it to God.
Hmm.
Like, Jesus, I'm stressed. Would you give me your peace? Lord, this person's driving me crazy, but would you help me to have your heart towards them? Will you help me to be a person of grace instead of jumping in and gossiping about them? So I think just those 2 steps in the midst of all of it, finding comfort in the fact, Psalm 139, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. Those moments when you don't know how to put your feelings into words, again, in a wonderful sense, like something wonderful's happened. Like even today in my prayer life, I've been thanking God for today, but I feel like I'm not doing justice to just how thankful I am today. So on days that we're thankful, but also days that we're broken, when we find out that our mom maybe does have cancer and it just kind of takes the wind out of us, there's such a comfort in knowing that before a word's on our tongue, God knows it completely. Like he hears the groans of our heart. And so even when we can't find just the right word, the Lord's able to hear what we want, what our heart is trying to say. So,
boy, good word, Adam. And we've probably got about, just to give you a heads up, about 3 minutes before our hard break at the bottom of the hour. But so if you need to take this answer over to the other side, please feel free. But the first section of your book is titled this way, The God We Talk With. Love for you to tell us about this God that we have access to, because like this listener, I loved her honest admission. If we're just looking down and looking at our feelings, looking how we feel when we pray, we're not considering that there is a God who's actually so glad to see us, you know, really glad to see us. Talk more about this God that we're talking with.
Yeah. Growing up, I just kind of had a false understanding of who God is. And I think that's so true for so many people. like, he must be an angry God, and he's just waiting for me to make mistakes, and I screwed up so much that God would want anything to do with me. Well, it's like, okay, like, but when you begin to open up the Bible, yes, God is holy, and he's just holy. He's so holy, angels cover their eyes when in his presence, and yet in the same breath, he's filled with grace and full of love, and he meets us at our worst. A couple weeks back, I had a gal ask me. She said, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, and even right now, I'm just guessing I'm doing some things that aren't pleasing to God. Do you think that God would want to talk with me? And it came from a really raw place. You could tell I had never met her before. She doesn't attend the church, and she just shared this. And I said, well, I won't share what I think. I'll just share with what's in the Bible. And I began to talk about time and time again, Jesus was drawn to the outsider. Time and time again, Jesus was drawn to the broken. He was even criticized for being a friend of sinners. And so, I, again, not my thoughts, but what's in the Bible, I think he would be thrilled to speak with you. And I looked up, and I didn't realize it, but she was crying. She was just sobbing. And she said, that's beautiful. And I said, actually, that's Jesus. And she said, really? And I'm like, yeah, that's Jesus. Like, that's just who he is. He's a God of full of grace and truth. And she said, that's just amazing. Like, I'd never, ever heard that before. And so even understanding, like, who our God is in Luke 15, when the prodigal son comes home, the dad throws a party. And the music is so loud from the party that the older brother can hear the music in the distance. And I just think, what a cool thing that we have a party-throwing God. Who, when we are at our lowest, when we've made our worst mistakes and worst decisions, when we come back to him, when we know and realize our need for Jesus, he throws a party in that moment. It's just awesome.
Absolutely amazing. So think about this, friend, if listening in today. If you're in a funk, the enemy wants you to think that God doesn't want to talk with you. And so the instinctive response is to pull back, to kind of cower, to numb out a little bit, and that prolongs that reconciliation, that prolongs the party. It postpones the party. God wants to hear from you, and that's exactly when you want to go running into his presence and see that he's glad to see you. I'm telling you, that's exactly the medicine you need. So stop, turn around, run back, and talk with your Father. Talking to author Pastor Adam Weber, title of his book, Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. If you need a fresh word of encouragement, email to get in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. If you remember your mailing address, you're automatically in on the drawing, and we'll be back in a minute. Love that song by Christy Knuckles, Everything is Mine in You, Lord, because that's from Ephesians, where in him we have the riches of the heavenly realm. We possess so much in Christ, and that's why that enemy baits us into a busyness that drains us, because if we pause, stop striving, we look up, we lay hold of a deeper walk with God and understand that his promises are yes and amen, and they're there so we can participate in the divine nature. That's what it means to walk in his presence as we live here on earth. Watch out, world, because we become kingdom people who trust in his promises and don't live by our emotions. Such a huge invitation from the Lord, and we don't want to miss it, right? And that's why we are here today. That's why we have the show, Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, really glad you tuned in, talking to author Pastor Adam Weber. He just today released a new book, Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. Email if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And Adam, I would love to know, just for you, over the years, how has your prayer life evolved? If you could describe, maybe even in phases, as far as how you approach God, what you thought about prayer, to where you've landed now.
Yeah, great question. As a brand new Christian, I would say probably the best way to explain my prayer life was sporadic. And just kind of here and there, when I'd randomly think about God, I would kind of throw up a, Lord, thank you, or Lord, I need you. It was really just as a brand new baby Christian, just super, super short prayers, just really sporadically, no consistency. When I got to college is when I really began to long and desire to fully follow Jesus all in. In high school, I had two separate groups of friends. One group of friends we would never talk about God with. And the other group, it was the reason we hung out was Jesus. Basically, we just got together because we loved the Lord. And in college, right away in my freshman year, I just felt God challenging me. Are you willing to follow me all in, Adam? Are you willing to follow me with your whole heart and not just a part of yourself or a part of your life? And I decided I was. And I knew that talking with the Lord more often and consistently would be a huge part of that. And 1 Thessalonians, we're told to pray without ceasing. And as a freshman in college, I just began to long to speak with God more consistently. So it had to be super intentional at first. So anything that reminded me of the Lord, I would just take a quick moment to acknowledge God. Like, Lord, I just want you to be a part of my day, and I just want to trust you more today. So when I woke up, I'd pray. When I walked to class, I'd pray. While eating breakfast and lunch and going to class and working out, I would just take a moment to consistently pray. And oftentimes, I would write a little note in my back pocket, whether it was just a simple Bible verse, I'd stick it in my back pocket, or I'd put something on my nightstand beside my room, in my dorm room, and just to quickly remind me to pray. And slowly but surely, by being intentional, it began to become more natural. And I always think there's something that changes when prayer slowly goes from one thing on our to-do list to the most important thing. And all of a sudden, it becomes as natural as breathing. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, try holding your breath and seeing how long you can last. When we begin to talk more and more and more, that same thing is true of prayer. It's like, gosh, I can't just breathe one time a week or one day a week for an hour. I need to breathe throughout it. And so God is like, I just want to constantly talk with you. And so that's really where I got consistency, just as praying more often throughout my day and making it more of a conversation. And then now I'm in the season of really just praying, as we talked about earlier, just wanting to see the depth of who God is and just wanting to trust him for great things. And so often now it's like, Lord, would you just use me in ways I can't fathom? I'm so grateful, God, that your ability to use me isn't based on my abilities, but it's based on you. And so I find myself praying much bolder prayers these days of just like, God, would you just move in this place? Would you heal this person? Would you change my life even more than it already has been? And so I feel like I'm in the season of just boldly approaching God. And anytime we take a step out and towards him, anytime we trust him, it's amazing what he can do with our just even tiny bit of faith. And that's really the season I'm in right now. Wow. Just bold prayers. God, move mountains.
It's really wonderful to just kind of watch a timeline unfold. I think that might be encouraging for somebody listening today who's in a different place, but then realizes they can have a vision for the next place that God has for them. Anything that you know now that you wish you would have known then?
I think as far as my prayer life and even my walk with Jesus as a whole, I wish I would have heard that my plan for my life is so small compared to his.
Amen.
Like my plan of what's possible and what I want is so small in comparison to what God is able to do. That would be my biggest thing, because I just thought my plan was so tiny and small compared to his. And if I could have just seen a glimpse of it, I think God's timing is perfect, because if I would have seen a glimpse of it, I would have been like, no way. that's crazy. That will never happen. But that's the thing I wish I would have known 10 years ago. It's just, Adam, your plan is so small compared to mine. And mine is so much better than yours will ever be. And so you spend so much time fretting and trying to be a control freak about getting exactly what you want. Well, just trust me, because my plan is so much better. And it's filled with joy and peace and goodness. That's what I wish I would have known.
And telling you, if we could embrace that, we could actually enjoy the journey. We could exhale a little bit more. We could rest, knowing more is on his shoulders than on ours. I mean, I truly think that's the Psalm 46:10, cease striving, be still, and know that I'm God. You know, I just imagine if we could just exhale and just exactly what you said, Lord, your plan is better than mine. You see what I cannot see. Your plan is good because you give good gifts to your kids. How can I bring pleasure to your heart today? How can my heart of rest show faith in you? I mean, he wants us to enjoy this journey, but we make it so much harder than it needs to be, you know?
Oh, it's such a part of my prayer life is just constantly giving control back to God. We carry so many things that are not ours to carry. Mm. And we lug around so much stuff in our life, whether it's shame from past decisions or insecurity or whatever. It's like Jesus is like, you're not meant to carry those things. I am. And so would you just hand them over to me? And so often throughout my day, it's just handing over different things and rehanding things over. You know, one of my greatest worries throughout the week is just my kids and just wanting the best for them. And my oldest is 10 years old. And so I find myself constantly needing to surrender my kids back over to God. Like, Lord, you love them more than I ever will. And you want the best for them. And so I just need to trust you. I just need to trust you. And so it's a lot of just handing control over. And he's so much better at driving our lives and being behind the wheel in our lives than we ever will be. So just that constant reminder, you're a much better driver, Lord. I'm just going to take the passenger seat on this.
In fact, I'll get into the car seat in the back seat and play with my busy box. Well, I would love to know, Adam, about a time that you earnestly prayed for something and you persevered. How did it turn out and what was that process like for you? Did it change you in the process? Tell us the story if you would.
No question. The one thing that comes to mind is my dad. My dad has had kind of a physical pain issue for the past 7 years. And the first couple of years in it, I prayed for my dad, but I wasn't really honest with God about how I was feeling. My dad is one of the most godly, amazing men I've ever met. And the first couple of years when it really started to get bad, I didn't voice any of my true feelings to the Lord. And really bitterness and resentment was starting to grow within me of just, why would you allow this, Lord? Like, why would you let this happen? And so in my prayer life, one of the biggest breakthroughs, I'll never forget it. I was up visiting my in-laws up in Fargo, North Dakota, and I was driving, and I finally just said it. I just said, God, I want you to heal my dad, and I don't know why you haven't. And I was just, it was the first time that I was shouting, and it was almost as if audibly God responded with, well, finally you're bringing this to me. Adam, I know that you've been hurting. Adam, I've seen this elephant between us. I'm so grateful that you're finally being honest with all you're feeling. And, man, I just cried and cried and cried because it was almost like a friendship when you know there's something that you haven't talked about.
Yeah.
If you don't talk about it, even with the closest of friends, that one thing that you won't talk about drives the two apart. Well, in our relationships with God, he's perfect and holy, so it's us. But if we don't acknowledge that to God, of just like, God, I just don't know why you haven't, it divides us. And I think so often I see people fall away from Jesus. Maybe they do have something tragic that happens, or they lose a job and they're not really sure why, and there's resentment that grows between them and God. And instead of just saying it and really just like bringing our heart and pouring out our heart to God, it can grow a gap. But after that, so that was just a huge moment for my relationship with Jesus, but really seeing God's hand at work through it. My dad, just a man full of joy and peace, even using this horrible situation for good. I mean, just even random people have come to church who know my folks. They're just in awe of God's joy in his life. And he's really been a walking testimony. Just to see that. But even just in the area of prayer and him finding healing has been amazing. It hasn't been in our timing. It hasn't looked exactly how we want it to. But just recently, my dad had a surgery, and it was kind of a scary situation going in. Like, is this going to help or is it going to make things worse? And when he came out of surgery, I've never seen anybody in my entire life audibly thank God more. When he came out of surgery and was audibly, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And just seeing the power of prayer and so many people praying for him, it was a moment of like, God, you're so good, and you do hear our prayers, and you do hear our words. Now, that's not the outcome for every situation. One of my favorite stories is Jesus sleeping in the boat during the storm, and the disciples wake him, and it's like, why are you sleeping? Like, don't you care if we drowned? And how Jesus is able to sleep is because of his complete trust in God the Father. And, you know, it's like, no, I can have peace even in the midst of the storm because of who God is. And so when a storm maybe doesn't come to an end like we'd like it to, still trusting that God is good and God is faithful and his plan is so much greater than ours will ever be. And even in the worst that we can face or go through, he can use it for good.
It's so good and so true. And as someone who's battled health issues my whole adult life, you know, my son had a miraculous healing with a serious back injury. My process has definitely not been like that. But I just know that my process has changed me. And I know that God still performs miracles today, but I also believe this process of you having to wrestle with God, of your dad learning joy in the process as he wrestles, God is such a wise father, and we're better for the process. And if we could understand that there's grace in that space and peace available to us, we can find it, because there's, even if it feels impossible, it's not impossible because God's with us in it. If we stop that fretting, I mean, we really do find a supernatural provision right in that place, don't we?
Oh, we do. One thing I'll never forget, when my oldest was 1 year old, he got sick and just had a flu and couldn't keep any fluids down. Well, we ended up in the hospital with him, and his little chubby arms, baby arms, didn't help the fact that his veins were really like tightened because he was so dehydrated. Mm. And for 45 minutes, I had to hold him down while they searched for a vein. And I'll never forget the look on his face. It was if he was telling me, Dad, I thought you loved me. Like, his face was just like, I thought you loved me. And as I was holding him there, I'm like, buddy, I do love you. And that's why I'm doing this, because they're going to help you. And, you know, you can't explain that to a one-year-old baby that can't even talk. But in that moment, I'm like, no, I do love you, and that's why this is happening. And whether God causes things in our life or not, he's able to use all things for good. And so even those moments where it's like, I thought you loved me, Lord, it's amazing. It's like his ways are so much higher than our ways, you know. On an infinitely scale, actually, my ways are very close to a one-year-old's, but myself compared to God, it's infinitely greater. You know, it's like so much greater that I can't even fathom. And so in those moments, like, I don't understand, Lord, why are you doing this? I thought you loved me, to trust, like, God, your ways are so much higher, and I know you're good. That's what I know. I know for certain you are good, and you are faithful, and you love me. And so even when it feels like the opposite, I can trust you.
Amen. And Adam Further writes, something changes when we have a relationship with God. Because our hearts are alive, we are alive. And because we're alive, our prayer is alive. Instead of speaking words to someone, we're actually talking with someone. We're talking with God. Great conversation with Adam Weber. Don't go away. More great conversation up ahead. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is The Promise. Love that song by our friend Meredith Andrews. Talking to author pastor Adam Weber today. His book is titled Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. And Adam, let's talk for a moment about this age-old question. People often voice this thought, if God's going to do what he's going to do, how do my prayers make a difference in the whole scheme of things? What say you?
Oh, gosh. That is a fantastic question. It's a hard thing. I would say, first off, it's a mystery. It's not something we can fully explain. But what I do know is all throughout the scripture, we're being told, ask and it will be given to you. And again, David, when I cry out, you hear my voice. And so there's something there where it's like God is sovereign. He's in control of all things. And yet he considers what his sons and daughters have to say and their requests. And so all I know, I'm a simple fella, that if I'm being told by Jesus himself to ask and it will be given, I want to ask. And if I'm encouraged to do that, it's like, Lord, if you're telling me I'm going to do that, trusting that you are in control ultimately, and you're so sovereign and good that you ultimately your plan is going to prevail whether we want it to or not. Again, it's one of those things I don't think you can fully explain, but we're told to do so. So it's like, all right, Jesus, I'll listen to you.
Yeah. And you don't you feel like after time, I mean, it starts out, and then there's always a mystery to following the Lord. But as you start to develop a history with God, as you start to pray, and not vague prayers, but specific prayers, and you see very specific answers only God could do, you sort of develop an appetite for the impossible. Suddenly nothing else matters to me more than my conversations with God. And I feel like part of the call of God, then you start to understand, is that he wants to partner with us. He wants us to partner with him for the purposes on this earth. And somehow, some way, my prayers factor in. I mean, that's a profound idea, you know?
It's so, so profound. And I find myself praying two different ways often, very specific prayers, because God tells us to get specific. So very specific prayers, but often more and more, even just prayers of like, God, I just want your plan to prevail. Hmm. And would you show me what your ways are? I want to follow your will and boldly and radically follow your will. And so, Lord, if I'm not, would you just reveal it to me? Because I think so often I play it so safe. And again, the specific things I request are so small in contrast to his. And so it's like, Lord, would you just open the eyes of my heart so I can fully see your plan and how you want to use me?
Good, good word. Okay, so you have a section in the book, How to Pray When. And we've probably, let me look in here at our clock here. We've got about 5, probably 6 minutes left before we wrap and actually pray. But I want you to talk about these. I'm just going to list some of them that you discuss in the book. For those who are interested in getting the book, Adam writes about how to pray when you face storms, how to pray when you're discouraged, how to pray when you're stuck in the mud, when you're exhausted, when you need an anchor, when you want to be used by God, when you're trying to extend grace. Pick a couple of these and speak to them, if you would, for that person listening today.
Yeah, how to pray when you're stuck in a mud is something that I think we all need to hear. Those moments where we've made a mistake or we've made a decision that we know isn't pleasing to God. And I share the story of my son getting stuck in physical mud. We were at our lake cabin. It was just getting done. We have this tiny little lake cabin on a lake up north. And we said, hey, go explore. There's acres of land, so it's like paradise for a city kid like I have. Mm. And so we're like, go explore. The only thing to stay away from is the mud pile because it's really wet and we don't have a change of clothes. So we got out of the vehicle, and within minutes, my oldest was knee-deep in it, literally. And it was so bad, and I heard him screaming, Daddy, Daddy, I'm stuck. And I came around, and I was worried that something bad happened, just how I was yelling. Well, I came around the corner, and he was covered in mud. And in that moment, I didn't need to tell him that he didn't listen. I didn't need to beat him over the head with, why'd you do this, and you didn't listen to me, all this kind of thing. Instead, he knew it already, and I just needed to pull him out. And what was so true about my son in that moment and what we do in those moments is he tried to, before crying out for help, he tried to free himself. He had been trying to get unstuck because he wasn't even in his boots anymore. Those were like a few feet back. He was now in his socks because he had tried to free himself. And we do the same thing. We make a mistake in life, whether it's in our marriage or with a friendship or at work, and we try to get ourselves unstuck. We're like, oh, I'm going to get myself out of this, especially when it comes to the Lord. I'm going to get myself out of this, and I made the mistake, so I need to clean my life up. Instead, where it's like, no, that's the worst decision. If you make a poor decision, the immediate thing to do is cry out to Jesus. Like, immediately, Lord, I've made a mistake. Would you come and get me out of this mess? Lord, I've screwed up. I shouldn't have said that. I was hurtful. Would you help me? Lord, just pull me out. Would you forgive me and also help me to go back to my friend and say I'm sorry? That should be our immediate Psalm 40. He pulled me out of the mud and the mire, and he set me on a new path and put a new song within me. That's the kind of God we have. So when we make a mistake, how to pray in the midst of mud? Jesus, help me. You know.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other chapters is on being exhausted and how to pray when you're exhausted. For me, it came from pastoring a church. Just starting a new church was hard, but maybe for a listener, it's a difficult marriage and loving our spouse, or it's loving a child through something, or you have a friend who's battling addiction and it's kind of coming alongside them. Just those seasons of truly being exhausted. Well, for me, it was pastoring a church. Starting a new congregation is not easy, and it was just hard 3 years of trying to grow this church so it could survive. And looking back, I did it all on my own. I mean, I was totally doing everything, living every day out of my own strength instead of asking Jesus for help. I was also honestly just completely disobeying the command of Sabbath and taking time to remember that I'm not God and just to enjoy him and enjoy the people I love. And so during that season of being exhausted, one of my prayers became, Lord, I need you. Come to me, all you who are weary, Jesus says, I will give you rest. And the very next verse says, I will give you rest for your soul. And it's like the deepest part of who we are. God breathes rest into us and renews us. And so through that season of maybe being exhausted, whether it's pastoring a church or it's parenting a child or loving someone who's hard to love, just constantly talking to Jesus and asking for his help instead of trying to carry the weight ourselves. The different chapters were so fun to walk through, because I know in every part of my life it's been a different season, and my prayers have changed throughout those different seasons. But it's wonderful, regardless of where we are, that we can talk with the Lord in the midst of all of it.
And what I love about that, Adam, is you're so right. It's not a one-size-fits-all. It's not a formulaic rote prayer that you just pray out of your brain. These are deep soul prayers for deep soul needs, and but that's how we talk to someone we love. And boy, it's such a personal, beautiful journey. Adam, you've handled the topic of prayer so wonderfully, and this has been such a great conversation. Wondering if you'd pray for that person listening today who's just feeling like that one listener who wrote in, just, I feel like I'm talking to myself. Would you pray for that person?
I'd love to. Heavenly Father, God, we are so grateful for you. We're thankful that you're with us. We're thankful that you're for us, not against us. We're thankful that you're the giver of all good things, God, and we just thank you more than anything just for today, another day, and for sending us Jesus. I just pray for anybody listening right now who feels inadequate to pray, or maybe feels like when they pray you're not hearing God, or like they're talking to themselves. Lord, for those of us who are in that place, would you make yourself so present? Would you make yourself so known, even right today, that we couldn't miss you? Would you just remind us often not to trust our feelings, but to trust who you are and who you said you are? And God, we're grateful that no matter where we are, whether we're stuck in mud, whether we're exhausted, whether we feel like we're treading water in life, or we're in the greatest season we've ever been in, that we can speak with you and you meet us right in that place. Lord, we love you, and we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. You're a great heart, Adam. I sure appreciate you and love the conversation. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much, Susie, for all you do for so many people.
Wow, good conversation. Talk to Adam Weber. He's a pastor and author celebrating the release of his book, Talking with God, What to Say When You Don't Know How to Pray. Hey, if you want in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Please don't forget your mailing address. Coming up next for hour two, my friend Susan Meisner, who's a multi-published author, joins me to talk about her publishing journey. And boy, she's got some great stories to tell. And we'll talk a little bit about the upcoming conference as well. So don't go away. Hour two is up next.